Let's read from Luke 23, verses 44 through 56. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when a centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. In a dim chapel located at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy, behind bulletproof glass rests what may be the most disputed, most studied, and the most unsettling piece of cloth in human history. It is called the Shroud of Turin. For centuries, millions have knelt before it believing that it is the very burial cloth of Jesus Christ mentioned in this text. And for centuries, skeptics have rejected it, calling it a medieval hoax. I'm going to tell you if I think it's real or a hoax, but not until next week. What I'm going to do today is highlight eight compelling evidences for the shroud. And believe me, there's a lot more I could highlight. But before I spend time explaining everything, we would be sitting here until the second coming. And if we did that, Jesus could tell us himself if he thought the shroud was real or not. The Shroud of Turin is a long linen cloth bearing a faint front and back image of a man who appears to have suffered physical trauma consistent with a crucifixion. It measures over a little over 14 feet long and a little over 3 feet wide. This ancient linen has been yellowed by time, and it has a sepia tone. When I first heard of the Shroud of Turin, I thought it was yet another fake relic, like those pancakes with Jesus' face on them. In other words, I thought it was kind of nutty. That's probably my Baptist upbringing. No offense to the Baptists. So I was listening to a podcast one day, and it really caught my attention, and I decided that the Shroud wasn't a subject that could be dismissed so lightly. I began months of research, and I have formed an opinion as to whether or not this thing is really Christ's shroud. Do I think it's for real? Do you want to know? Not till next week. The first piece of evidence I want to talk about today is evidence of a forgery. There is a group of scientists who believe that this cloth was painted, perhaps even by Da Vinci. However, the shroud lacks the richness and depth of Da Vinci's other works. Plus, the image could not have been painted by anybody, let alone Da Vinci. Whenever someone paints, there are brushstrokes. There are starting and stopping marks on the paint. There are no brushstrokes or stopping or starting marks on the fabric. Microscopic examinations have found there are no paint pigments, no binder materials or brushstrokes on the image fibers. The image encodes as 3D information. Now, paintings encode as 2D information. Some have said the reason it codes as a 3D image is because it was created using a statue, but I'm going to get back to that. The second piece of evidence that I want to talk about today is the date. In 1988, three of the world's leading laboratories determined that the shroud was a fake. Their radiocarbon dating dated the cloth back to the Middle Ages, between 1260 and 1390. Obviously, if the cloth was from the Middle Ages, it couldn't be Christ's burial cloth. After these laboratories published their findings, newspapers around the world ran headlines mocking those who believed in the shroud. And the secular world breathed a sigh of relief and said, "Case closed." But the case wasn't closed, because more modern physics labs began to conduct new studies on the shroud. Scientists stopped studying the shroud using outdated methods. Today, they're looking at it using AI trained to detect hidden patterns that the human eye cannot see, even with the help of magnifying glasses and microscopes. Modern techniques detected a problem with the 1988 testing. The sample that was being used for the testing was cut from the edge of the cloth, and this is the exact area where people had been touching it for centuries. And this is also a section that was most impacted by a fire in 1532. This section is a section that medieval nuns repaired. The edges of the shroud were medieval because they were medieval. Medieval nuns were using medieval cloth to repair it. In other words, all the testing on the shroud had been done using the sections that the nuns had repaired. It was determined if they wanted a more accurate date of the shroud, they would have to test the main part of the cloth. And that's when the lid blew off this thing. All this time, the dating on the shroud rested on one fatal error. What they did is the same thing as if you had a quilt that had, say, a cigarette burn on one of the outer squares. So you decide, well, I'm just going to replace that square, so you use a new square. Well, you can't use that new square to say how old the quilt is. You have to use the old squares from the original sewing. If the medieval date is wrong, then how old is this linen? Enter a specialized X-ray device used by NASA that can see through time itself. The results of this technology left the laboratory in total silence. There was a 0% likelihood that it came from the Middle Ages. The data came back saying one thing: this linen is 2,000 years old, woven in the Middle East. The third piece of evidence I want to present this morning is photographic negative evidence. The image on the shroud is a photographic negative. In 1898, an amateur photographer named Secondo Pio took a picture of the shroud. As he developed his glass plate in a dark room, he nearly dropped it in shock. What formed before his eyes wasn't supposed to exist. As he peered into the negative, a man's face peered back at him. Now, the best way I can think of to explain how wild this is let's say you go outside one day, and there is this beautiful shadow on the grass. So you take a picture of the shadow, and then you go inside in your dark room and you develop it. And you're expecting, after you develop it, to see a shadow. But when you develop it, it's not a shadow, it's a man. So you go, and you go back outside and redo it. You take a picture again, you go back inside, you develop it, and it's a man. So you can't believe your lying eyes, you call your friends to come over. And you take them to the shadow and say, "What's that?" They go, "That's a shadow." And then they take a picture of it, they develop it, and bingo, a man appears in all of their pictures too. This is the same thing that has happened with the shroud. You can see a faint outline, but it isn't until you take a picture that you see the man. The man shouldn't be there, but he is. The fourth piece of evidence is radiation evidence. Something else was found on this cloth that shouldn't have been there either. This kind of data couldn't have been there. It wasn't possible 2,000 years ago. What was this data? Radiation signals. The image on the shroud was revealed to have been made by radiation, a quick, hot burst of radiation, quicker than a snap. But get this, this burst of radiation came from inside of the shroud. The strength of this burst would be on the order of the combined output of all the power plants on Earth concentrated into one single point. This flash would have had to last less than 1/40 billionth of a second. Any longer than that, and the fabric would have vaporized, burning it up without a trace. And any less than that, the image wouldn't have formed at all. Scientists who accept the veracity of the shroud wonder if the intense light and heat generated by Christ's body at the moment of resurrection burned his image into the cloth. We did see this happen in Hiroshima. Permanent shadows of people were burned into the walls and other surfaces by the atomic explosion in 1945. The fifth evidence that I want to present is DNA and genetic evidence. It was determined in the 1980s that the stains on the shroud were human blood. They tested it and they found that the type on the cloth is AB, and it is also male. AB blood type is one of the rarest types on Earth. Only 4% of the world's population have it. This blood is also Semitic, meaning it came from Israel. In 2022, a team of geneticists reanalyzed the DNA samples using an advanced sequencing technology. The DNA from the shroud contained genetic markers that are only found in the first century people who lived in the Middle East. These were markers that had disappeared from the human population hundreds of years ago. So back to the argument that the image on the shroud was made using a statue, making it appear as a 3D image, I have one question to ask. If that's the case, where did the forger get extinct human DNA from? These genetic sequences were clearly from Homo sapiens, meaning us human beings. But some of these genetic markers did not match any known population group, either ancient or modern. One geneticist explained, it was like finding someone whose genetic markers suggest one of their ancestors came from Mars. The researchers focused specifically on mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is inherited exclusively from the mother. It survives for hundreds and hundreds of years. If any genetic information was going to survive on the shroud across the millennia, it would be mitochondrial DNA. It was found that the man on the cloth had a genetic profile unlike any other human being in known history, part human and part something else. The mitochondrial DNA proved he had a mother, and the other DNA markers proved something else. The sixth evidence is from dirt and plant life. Further testing on the shroud detected a rare form of sedimentary rock. Spectral analysis showed that it matched the limestone around the area around the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. There was pollen trapped in the fibers of the cloth, and it belonged to a plant species that only grows in Israel and blooms only in the spring. I would like to remind you that Christ was crucified in the spring, and there will be more on this next week. The seventh evidence is autopsy evidence. The image of the man on the cloth is basically an autopsy report. And this is what the autopsy shows. There were more than 100 whip marks. The shape of the wounds are consistent with the Roman multi-tailed whip, which had lead weights at the ends. On the right shoulder, there is a broad abrasion consistent with a heavy, rough wooden beam. The autopsy shows that the man fell, striking his face on a stone. His knees were scraped raw. The cartilage in his nose was displaced. His right cheek was swollen from a blow with a stick-like object. There are puncture wounds around his head, which is consistent with an object like a crown of thorns. There is a spear-like wound to the man's side. The wound in the side is located between the fifth and sixth rib. It looks to be proof of the practice of exactus mortis, which is the Roman way of verifying death. If after the body was stabbed with a sword, blood and water came out, the man was pronounced dead. Pilate did not expect Christ to die so quickly, so he ordered this rudimentary test to make sure Christ wasn't just dead, but good and dead. The autopsy also reveals the wounds on his feet and hands bear nail-like punctures. The wounds on the man on the cloth are not on his palms, but on his wrists, on the space of distaff. We know that the weight of a crucified body would cause the hands to tear if the nails were driven through the palms and the victim would have slid off the cross. Medical people who have studied the crucifixion all agree In order to support the weight of a body, the nail must be driven into the strong region of the wrist. Given that the wrist provides a stronger place to hang someone, it seems more likely that the nails went through the wrists, and the shroud shows this. When a nail enters into the wrist, it damages the median nerve, and the thumbs involuntarily snap inward. That's why on the shroud's imprint, you can only see four fingers on each hand. The thumbs aren't visible because they're tucked into the man's palms. The eighth piece of evidence is coin imprint evidence. Imaging is showing round objects resting over the man's eyes. These were revealed to be ancient coins. In the ancient Jewish burial tradition, coins were placed over the deceased's eyes to keep them closed. Imaging detected letters on each one of these coins, which were the initials of Tiberius Caesar, along with a staff. Coin experts tell us this was a small bronze coin called a lepton, which was minted in Judea under Pontius Pilate. Ever hear of that guy? What I am willing to say today is the evidence points to the fact that this cloth really was the burial shroud for somebody who was crucified in the first century. The question that remains to be answered, was this man Jesus Christ? Not till next week. If the shroud is real, and I'm not saying what I think until next week, it would be a definitive sign that the resurrection really happened. Which leads me to this question. Do you need a sign? This is not a negative question. God does give signs. We see signs given all throughout the Bible to help people in times of doubt. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, "For Jews demand signs." In the Apostle Paul's day, the Jewish world was looking for a sign that the Messiah had arrived to deliver them. This is why Jesus performed so many miracles. Yes, he was trying to help people, but more than that, he was trying to prove to the Jews that he was indeed the Messiah who had come from God. He was trying to give the Jews signs. If, in fact, the shroud is real, this would be the biggest sign of all for the Jews that the Messiah had come. Perhaps, if the shroud is real, that's why it still exists as a sign for the Jews. Interestingly, many of the scientists who are studying the shroud are Jewish. They don't have any motivation to validate a Christian relic. Believe me, they don't. In fact, many of them are out to disprove it, but they can't. I have one last question for you before I end this morning. If the shroud is real, would that make you believe? Would that finally be the cherry on the sundae for you? Would that be the proof that you need? I believe either way. Jesus said in John 20:29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." My friends, I hope no matter what I tell you about the shroud next week, that you believe in your hearts this morning. Either way, we don't need a sign. We know that Jesus is real. We know that he died on the cross. We know he was buried for 3 days, and on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And one day, he will come back to this earth to judge the living and the dead. I hope you believe this, for I surely do.